Ball and Play 2, presented by DraftKings, is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
Welcome back to the Compound Podcast presented by Parse Rum. That's right. I did not forget that we're presented by Parse Rum because Parse Rum is the best rum in the world. I actually saw, my mom sent it to me, an article in Town and Country. I don't know if you've ever seen that magazine, Town and Country, where they did the top, I believe, 15 high-end rums in the world, and Parse was on the list.
Let's go.
In the least surprising news of the world.
Yeah.
But this, you know, is what? My question. My question is, are any of the other companies planting a tree in Colombia every time you buy a bottle?
I'll go out on a limb and say no.
Zach, you know what might be even more least surprising though?
I'm not talking about it.
No, it's not about the Super Bowl yet. I was going to say the fact that on last week's episode, Ian said big news coming in the coming days. And nothing has happened in the week. So what do you know? Ian's lying again.
That means that all is right in the world.
Exactly.
I want everyone to know there's still big news coming. The big news just isn't ready to be announced yet. There's a large news coming. Maybe that big news will just time perfectly with the start of spring training. Maybe.
Because I was thinking that driving home today, I'm like, we like announced that we had big news and like we tweeted about it and just never came out. So it's not happened yet.
We're experimenting this week with a new platform to record this on. So could be great, could be terrible.
I'm just waiting for us to have to redo it all after this first try.
I would be so sad. If we have to redo it, we're not having a podcast this week. It's just done.
I concur. I concur with that.
Zach, before we talk about how good Tom Brady is, you are officially in Florida. You're at the
Lakeland.
Not, in Lakeland, yep.
But are you at an apartment or are
yes.
you at?
No, so I am in an apartment.
You got a separate apartment away from the team hotel.
We don't have a team hotel here.
You know what that says? Not a team guy.
They have dorms where it's like optional to live at.
You don't grind? Go back to college days, man, you know, with the boys just hanging out. Play some cards.
How's your apartment? What would you give it?
It's nice. It's cool. I went in and tested today. The facility's awesome. The stadium is huge. But I will say, you know how we talk about big outfields, like a lot of hits? This is literally the biggest field I have ever. I am convinced it's not legal within baseball's rules.
It's like old polo grounds or something.
Literally, bro, I went out after I tested and just on the field and I like looked and I was like, that's not left field, is it? That's like a different county.
How weird is it after being an organization for so long and knowing exactly where everything is and then going to a new facility where you know nothing?
Yeah. No, it's literally like I was following a few guys. They're like, yeah, just come this way. And like they were walking like kind of quick. I was like, oh, hey, guys, let me hold your hand. I got to follow you. I have no idea where I'm going.
When you see all the new faces, are you just so confused? Are you just looking at people like, it's me, Zach?
And I have a mask on, so I'm just like.
They're probably like, oh, there's the new Clubby. He's so cute.
That's rude.
That's fucked up, man.
Rude.
Also, Ian, per report / our statisticians team, actually 29 seconds ago, it was tweeted, Yadier Molina has re-signed with the Cardinals on a one-year deal. So this isn't breaking news because everyone will be hearing this tomorrow and they already know, but breaking news to us.
Do you have a number on the contract, a monetary value?
John Heyman just tweeted Yadier Molina back to Cards 1 year. I don't see any money yet.
I really wonder what they're going to pay him because they gave Adam Wainwright a pretty fair shake.
You should ask Dom how much she deserves.
I mean, he's one of those guys though that he like not had to retire, but like he's a Cardinal. Like if he wore any other uniform, you'd be like, no, I don't see it.
No,
doesn't look right. That must be his brother Benji. His brother Benji's back. That's not him.
Benji had to have played for all 30 teams, right?
Pretty damn close, honestly.
The deal that they gave Wainwright was the base was adequate, and then he had a nice incentive package, I think, to be able to get to make some more money. And so I assume they'll do the same thing with Yachty.
I was going to say, I feel like the best thing to do, I mean, obviously veterans probably won't take the deal, but like incentive wise, like if you play this amount of games, we'll pay you a good amount of money because you're obviously still good, but they're just betting on or hoping you don't get hurt, and then they pay you to not play basically.
But yeah, and if you're the Cardinals, you have to take care of that guy. Like you can't not.
100%.
Still crazy how many guys out there that haven't been signed.
Jackie Bradley?
Yeah.
Justin Turner.
Ian, you probably shouldn't bring up any outfielders, man. You know, Cubs could bring them in, and then there's some competition. I don't know.
We already have a few. I'm trying to think of, like, who else is coming to camp.
For us?
I feel like the offseason was so slow that
let me tell you, Ian, nobody knows. Nobody knows who's coming to camp for us.
I was gonna say something.
not a single person knows.
One person does.
I don't know if one person does. It's still TBD, honestly.
Real quick, we should touch on this. I should have touched on it right when we started. But Pedro Gomez passing away.
Oh, yeah.
I woke up to that news, and he was an incredible person. The kindest, most genuine person you could run into. I did a Zoom this offseason with him, actually, for Parse. And we talked to the kids, and man, I met him before, obviously, and had conversations, but like he basically translated for me the whole time, and how genuine he was, his excitement to do that. He just always loved talking about baseball, and he loved bridging the gap between the Latin American players and the American players and American fans. And he will be missed by a lot of people.
Everything I've seen on social media has just been praising just literally exactly what you said. Just, you know, his energy, his like just passion for baseball and to help people, you know, just kind of grow in the game or whatever, you know. Just everybody had so many positive, even just stories like threads on Twitter. You know how people do that, like, this is my favorite Pedro Gomez story, where, and it was just so many of them, and you could just tell how many lives he really affected just through the game.
An incredible person, and baseball lost a very, very good man.
It was kind of crazy too. It was like last night during the Super Bowl, wasn't it? Or like after the
Super Bowl? right at the end of the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it was just kind of out of nowhere. Zach said, like on Twitter, obviously me and Zach didn't know him at all, or I've never talked to him.
No, I haven't.
But like just all the praise he got, like he just seemed to be loved by everybody and just seemed like such a happy, genuine guy, like you said, Ian.
Yeah, and I think his son's in the Angels organization. Yeah. His son's in Pro Bowl.
Red Sox.
Yeah, brutal. All right, let's talk about something that will make Zach really sad, which is that Tom Brady won the Super Bowl. He's the best player of all time.
I'm backing up Zach on this one. Listen. Zach, I'm with you here. I'm putting my foot down to be on your side.
Thank you.
In this debate. Tom Brady didn't win that Super Bowl. His defense won the Super Bowl.
And the Zebras.
The referees said, Tom, how can we help you today? They were like greeters at Meijer. Hi, how can we help you today? Oh, pass interference in the end zone. Okay. I was a very like unbiased fan. I did not care at all who won. I was like rattled with some of the calls. I'm like, these are some soft game changing calls.
I mean, in the Super Bowl, you're gonna play ticky tack fouls. What are we doing? If that was basketball, the whole defense would have fouled out in the first half.
I mean, all he had to do was not make a mistake, and also people were saying like Mahomes had a bad game. Roll back the tape. The offensive line gave him negative 0.8 seconds.
Hang on. I have to go. And there were some of these tweets today about him. It was like, I think you sent one where there was one. He scrambled for 498 yards.
Yeah. It was every single play. Well, first of all, the Bucs have an unreal D-line. Shaq Barrett, JPP, Ndamukong Suh, Vita Vea, and – I mean, he was literally scrambling for his life every play, and then his receivers refused to help him all of a sudden. All of a sudden, his receivers couldn't catch the ball. And here we go. One play that he was falling down,
like a diving
parallel
play
with the ground, and he threw it and it hit his receiver in the face mask. I'm like, hey, man, there's only so much you can do, Pat.
Tom Brady was pressured on 9.5% of dropbacks in the first half. Patrick Mahomes, 57%. Mahomes was under pressure in 2.5 seconds or less on 43%. Brady, three plays at 10%. You flip those roles. You flip them. I'm not saying that. Nope.
I don't know though, because Tom Brady's the king of like getting out of his hand quick if he needs to, and
he's also the king at not scrambling. As soon as somebody's there, he's just going down and taking a sack.
Yeah.
I don't think Mahomes played bad. I think his athleticism was incredible, and he did hit two receivers in the helmet in the end zone. But Tom managed the game. He did. There were some calls, but he managed the game. I am amazed with his arm strength at 43 years old. He still throws rockets. And I can't help but root for a guy that came from that system and then proves why he's the best of all time. I can't help but root for him. Sorry.
Why? Because he brought Gronk and AB to his team along with Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. Is that what you're saying?
Wouldn't you follow him?
Top three defense?
I'd like to do it on my own.
I would follow. Go take that 18th string quarterback from Kent State for your team too. I would follow Tom Brady into an inferno. He's incredible. He makes everybody around him better, and he's the best.
Be your own guy. Be your own guy. Lead your own troops.
Zach, you'll love my mom. She doesn't even like watch football, but she just comes down today and she goes, "Aren't you just kind of sick of Tom Brady? Like, just sick of him winning all the time?" And I'm like,
I'm glad the rest of the country is seeing how sick of one human being people can be.
Also, I think Tom Brady's getting younger. I think he's Benjamin Button aging. Like, they showed that from his rookie year until now. Like, he looks way better now than he did his rookie year.
You see those pictures?
He really does.
Bro, he might be getting some plastic surgery. I don't know. But, I mean, he looks incredible. His hair can't be real. It's got to be fake. From one fake hair guy to another, like, that hair can't be real.
I don't know, dude. He's always had crazy haircuts where one year it'd be down to his shoulders and the other year it'd be perfectly manicured. I'm just so sick to my stomach over that.
I have one qualm about the game. And betting is legal here in Michigan, so I can speak of my bets because it's legal.
Good point.
First, I had Gronk to score touchdown. Thanks. Check mark. Second, I had Gronk to score 2+ touchdowns. Thanks. Don't mind if I do. My qualm, how's he not MVP? 6 for 60, 2 touchdowns. Tom had 201 yards and 3 touchdowns. Two of those were to Gronk. Two fifths of his passing yards were to Gronk. Like,
and that's my one friend said last night, to your point, Ian, he was like, "Oh, Tom managed the game so well." I was like, what did he have to do?
I don't know if he made one tough throw.
The one throw he made was the Gronk one in the end zone, the first one, or might have been the second one.
It was the second one where he had.
It was the second one, where he scrambled, and he kind of went on his own route.
The first one was impressive. It was a dot.
But
I mean, how about the way he read the defenses, called the plays? I mean, he is him and Byron Leftwich together. What a magical combination it is. How about Byron Leftwich?
I'm not gonna lie, Ian. That's kind of surprising. You know who that is? I'm not gonna lie.
I'm shocked. Ian knows who Byron Leftwich is.
That's why he pushed this back a little bit. He was doing some research.
Sneaky football guy over here.
Who's the defensive coordinator?
No idea. Nobody cares about the defense.
Ex-Jets head coach, baby. Yeah. No, what I was gonna, I'm not even like bashing Brady. It's when people say like
I will.
And I get you're going from like a team you've played with for 18 years or whatever how many years to a brand new team and then you win a Super Bowl, that's insane. But people are acting like he walked in and made the Bucs good. Like look at their roster up and down. There is no better roster in the NFL. I will take the Bucs roster, take Mahomes and Brady out of it. I take Bucs roster over Chiefs roster. It's not even close. Because their defense is so good.
This is why I like Dakota.
How about
– I mean, I'm siding with Zach on this. It's very rare we agree, too.
How about Brady going up to that corner – Tyron Matthew, is that his name?
Yeah.
That was electric. Electric.
He apologized. I saw you apologize. Yeah, he texted him after the game apologizing.
Yeah, because he's a real sportsman.
But you know what my problem is? Oh, my God.
Tom Brady instigated it.
I don't even hate Tom Brady, but somehow Tyrann Mathieu gets on sports. Yep. I'm like, Tom Brady gets nothing. Brady ran back at him. Like, what?
He found him on the other side of the field and got in his face.
I don't know how that's possible. But you know what? If you play for 20 years and you've been to 10 Super Bowls, maybe you deserve to have no penalties ever called on you.
It's been happening for 20 years.
You ever see that video of the referee talking to Michael Jordan? Like, I believe you, Michael. I believe you.
I believe you.
that's what – if I was a ref in the NFL, that's what I would say to Tom Brady. Like, I'll never call a penalty on you, Tom.
And that's pretty much how it goes, honestly.
Yeah.
I think he deserves it. I think he's played long enough.
No.
My biggest – it was just kind of a stinker of a game, though. That's what sucked.
Like, it was brutal.
It was such a sick matchup going into it, and it just was brutal.
Yeah. I think Tony Romo was a little disappointed, too, because at the first half, Tony Romo was so hyped up. And then he had to keep – him and Jim Nantz had to just keep it going in the fourth quarter. They didn't really have much to talk about.
Yeah, because it was basically like it was just over.
Dakota and I were holding on for dear life after halftime. We're like, bro, there's no way that they just don't score here. We're fine.
If you would have given me $1 million free to bet and said bet it on the Chiefs not to score a touchdown, I'd say no thanks. Like, I don't even want to make that bet. Like, I wouldn't do it. Under any – I would never do it. Like, there's no way you could convince me that was going to happen. So, just kind of crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, like, two face mask balls in the end zone that weren't caught. Pretty amazing, too.
It's just it won't compare to next year's Super Bowl when Jared Goff's taking on Sammy D, you know, Jets Lions. It's going to be electric.
What team is Sammy D going to be on?
Starting quarterback of the New York Jets, baby. Deshaun ain't going nowhere.
I know. That's going to be so interesting.
If you get Deshaun, Zach, how fast is his jersey ordered? Like, is it already pre-ordered? Is it already in the cart?
It's already in the cart, yeah.
You already went on, like, a Chinese website and made it up. And
I just custom my own jersey and just put Watson on the back.
And he wears your number, too.
Right. It'll be here in 4 weeks, which is perfect time because that's when he's going to sign, so – or get traded.
Did you see your spring training jersey?
Yeah, I'm getting down. I'm bumping down, baby.
He's got a good number now.
59. Getting there.
Oh, wow.
From 91 to 76 to 59. Here we go.
I've been 89 both years. Mike Ditka, ever heard of him? I think he was pretty good.
Mike Vick.
No, Mike Ditka.
You said Mike Vick. I was like, what?
No, he was number 7. Mike Ditka was number 89. That's what Dan Winkler would call me. He'd call me Ditka. And I'm like, why do you call me that? He's like, he was number 89. I'm like, oh, cool.
Nico sent me a picture of my locker for spring training when he got down there. And I was so pumped because, you know, the locker that Lester had with the middle divider thing?
Yeah.
They gave me that locker. So I was like, wow, that might be the coolest thing that's happened to me in my career is, like, the respect of that locker.
Wow.
I get a call from Rizzo today, and he's like, hey, you got a new locker, mate. I was like, what? He was like, yeah, I took John's locker, so you're next to me. I was like, damn it.
Why would Riz want to move?
I don't know. There's a lot of respect in that locker. I mean, that's Johnny's locker for the last 5 years.
That's the best locker in the locker room. You literally have, like, a cubby, like, a whole free locker next to you with, like, shelves and, like, cupboard. Like, it's the best locker.
Yeah. I mean, it is the best locker. I was really excited to get a crack at that, but
I think you got to forego that one to Riz. I think he's got you there on.
Yeah. It's already happened.
It doesn't matter.
I'm just along for the ride here. Did you guys see the Alive documentary?
The what?
Drew Robinson?
I didn't watch it, but that Zach texted about that to me the other day, how incredible that is. Zach?
I just read it. My jaw was on the floor for like 3 hours just thinking about the whole story after. And it was just like, the thing that was crazy is, like, I guess his friends were checking in on him, like, is everything all right? Like, and he was like, I'm just meant to be alive. And just, like, that was his only thing that he was talking about. He's like, I'm meant to be alive. I'm meant to be alive. Like, just, I don't know. I just couldn't, like, that just stuck in my head.
Did you watch the documentary?
No, I didn't.
I haven't seen it yet either.
No.
It is powerful. So we played against him. I guess we should offer some context for the listeners. We played against him in AAA. I played against him, I believe, in the Fall League and then we played against each other in AAA in 17. I think we played each other against each other in the big leagues when he was in St. Louis for a minute, but then also I think we played against him in 19, right? I think he was with Memphis.
Yeah, yeah, he was.
So, I don't know. I've played against him for a while, and I always loved his swing. I always thought it was incredible. But I didn't. I had no idea that even happened until this came out. And our hitting coach, Anthony Posey, he had him in Texas. And so Poe sent me the link before just to the article when it was about to be released. And I watched it that first night. I mean, that is powerful. And I think a lot of baseball players struggle with it. And he did a really good job of talking about the struggle and talking about like humanizing baseball players and like that thought of only being seen as a baseball player, like that you just tie your entire existence to your work, and that's not healthy. And like, that's, I think it's something that we probably all have struggled with at some point, is that like people that you've grown up with or that you went to college with or whoever just view you as a baseball player only. And that, like, we talk a lot about being zoo animals and that, like, humanizing the guys. But, shoot, that was...
That's right. I mean, it's right down your alley, too, where, you know, you do so much for mental health, you know, and it's like, you know a lot about it. You know, it's kind of hits home for you.
Definitely. Is he with the Giants now, right?
He's with the Giants. He's going to camp.
That's so sick.
So sick.
I'm looking forward to seeing him across the field.
I'm gonna have to definitely check that out. I didn't know there was a video, honestly. I just saw like the article.
It's an hour, maybe hour and a half documentary on ESPN Plus. Highly recommend.
Definitely.
I firmly believe there will be fans in spring training.
Mm-hmm.
I also firmly believe that I bet almost every team opens with fans to start the season.
That's what I heard. I heard from somebody that in spring they're going to try to get like a couple thought, like I think like 2,000. Cause I mean, obviously the stadiums are smaller. So
I think
getting like 2,000 in. Yeah. And yeah, I think
25%,
I
mean, that's
plausible. So that'd be so sick. Like I said this to Zach the other night when Duke played North Carolina. That's a game that's on my TV 100 out of 100 times. And without any fans and neither team really being that great this year, I didn't even watch it. Like, fans make such a difference in sports just for the entertainment value of watching it. It's insane.
Do you think that's why less people watched the NBA playoffs and the World Series?
100%. Because it's just weird. Like, pumped in crowd noise is weird. Like,
it's annoying. Get,
like, the same reactions. Like, and the players don't react the same way because, like, you're hyped up if you hit a big shot or get a big hit. But, like, I feel like the crowd going nuts sends the adrenaline rushing through you. Dude,
even last night, like, there was a few big plays. I think when the Bucks scored, I was just like, that's weird. That's really weird.
I was watching – well, there was a decent amount of fans in Tampa, but I was watching
– hang on. Speaking of fans in Tampa, we got fooled because I was like, oh, my God, it's a packed house. But
– the cardboard cutouts?
They were cardboard cutouts with people in there, and I was just like, holy shit, they sold it out.
I think they had 20 to 30,000 in there.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was something like that. It was like almost half capacity, I want to say.
I was watching them get ready to go on the field. And, like, they were doing the whole, you know, pregame walking down the tunnel thing. I started to get the nervous butterflies, like, the before the game nervous butterflies. And I was like, oh, it's like, oh, God, I can feel it. It's like, I'm not even participating. I don't know why I'm feeling this.
No matter what game, like, if they show, like, those kind of clips or, like, walking out to the field, no matter what kind of game it is, it's always just like, I mean, that's so sick.
Do you ever get baseball PTSD? Do you ever get, like, the... Like, does it ever transport you into the locker room and you're like,
it's just like
you're like putting your pants on and you're like feeling it. You're like thinking about the starting pitcher.
Yeah. For me, it's like when I put my cleats on and I grab my glove and my helmet to go out, it's kind of like just a completely different mode where it goes from like, all right, locker room mode to it's like, all right, no turning back now. Let's go.
I was getting such bad baseball PTSD, but like, I don't get that feeling. I get it before opening day. I get it before the first game of spring. I get it before opening day. and I get it before a playoff
game. That's crazy. I'd get butterflies before every game.
I don't really have them before every game. Like once the regular season starts and we're just doing it every day, like I'm just kind of doing it. And
I don't know, like, man. Like when I'm standing there for the anthem every game, I kind of just get locked. Like I don't know.
I do love a good anthem though. That feeling of being on the field with the anthem and oh man, there's nothing better than that. I cannot wait for the first anthem with fans again. Holy shit.
I definitely don't get butterflies every game because I play every third or fourth game. So about 60 to 70% of the time I won't even see the field that day. So I'm just like, oh well, it's just another day. Maybe I won't.
Do you get bullpen warming up butterflies?
It definitely depends on the situation. Like if I'm closing out a game, I don't want to say butterflies, but I just get like pumped up, like extra excited. Like I've never really,
let's call it adrenaline.
Yeah. Cause I don't really get like nervous. I just get like more fired up depending on the situation. Obviously excited. If it's like a 15-0 game and I'm just going in there kind of to mop up, it's like just obviously it's a different feeling and you're just like, all right, let's just go out there and get some outs. But when it's like big situations to close out the game, you're locking in and the fans are going nuts. Iowa fans.
I want to see you start being the dude that like chugs the Red Bull and spikes it on his way out of the pen.
How much can I pay you to sprint out to the mound this year?
No, I
Jared Hughes style mouth breathing sprint to the mound.
Come on, dude.
Those people always end up getting made fun of for that stuff, though. Like, it's funny, like, to the guys on their team, but everyone else is like, what's whole doing, basically?
Hey, you get three outs. Who cares?
Yeah. But great I point. Just don't have the balls to do that. Because you do something like that, you better go shove. Because if you go do that and you suck, then it's like, what is this guy's problem? So it takes some balls.
We can talk about Bauer getting $1 zillion.
Oh, yeah. We should touch on that. $40 million year one, $45 million year two with opt-outs after both. Love that deal. It's great for the game. It's great for him.
The poor
it's not
poor
great Padres. For the Padres.
The poor Padres making all these moves, and the Dodgers just say, oops, we got the Cy Young Award winner. And
explain to me how the Dodgers can afford to pay him $40 million this year, $45 million next year, and the Pirates team payroll is $30 million. That's criminal. It's criminal.
It's insanity how much he's getting. I mean, he's worth it. I'm not like knocking the money, but it's insanity how they can pay him, Kurt, like all the guys they're paying right now. It's insane to me.
Well, I think the teams that want to compete would be more willing to pay guys an absurd amount of money for 1 to 3 years as opposed to those teams are just so afraid of those long deals and having to pay guys when they're not performing as well. But when they think they can, when they think there's a really good chance they're going to get the value, like as far as war goes, for every one war point, what I don't fuck you call it, one whatever for one war, it's supposed to be worth between 8 and 10 million to the team as far as value. So if you're talking about a guy that's as a starting pitcher, I mean, shit. If you're winning the Cy Young, what are you putting up? 6, 7, 8, 6, 5, 6?
I don't know. I don't know how it works.
Let's say that
be
it's
honest,
5.
I have no idea how
Let's
it works.
Let's say it's 5, which I think is conservative. That's $50 million worth of performance. Like Trout every year is like a 6 or a 7. He's the best player ever, and he's like a 6 or a 7 every year. That's you're talking about $70 million of value, and you're only paying Trout 35 or 40, so that sounds like a bargain to me.
And how about there's talks that they're going to try to re-sign Turner too. And they get David Price back.
I mean,
they just won the World Series without Bauer and David Price.
You know why they're fucked though, Zach?
Padres.
You know why they're fucked?
Why's that?
Because they gave up your boy Kike.
Yeah,
how can they win without the glue guy?
That's great point. True.
That and is Jock, great... and we got Jock. Maybe Jock was the key to all the success. Maybe we got him, and now what do they do?
Now the Cubs are all of a sudden like, oops, oops. Here we go. Also, I just saw a tweet, Yadi got $9 million, which I feel like is very – that's taking care of him, right?
Good for him and
okay.
Good for the
I didn't know what your reaction, if that was a lot is... or little. Like, I feel like that's a lot, right?
They did the right thing. The Cardinals, as much as Cubs fans hate on the Cardinals – They did the right thing.
Mm-hmm. The research team get you in on that, Dakota?
Yeah, the research team was on it. They just sent it to me.
Oh, you know what? This isn't the big news, but this is some big news before we go, because we should probably wrap this up, is we're going to have some new shirts coming out to start spring training. We'll sneak peek one of them from Obvious Shirts, which is, it's, what does it say? It says research team.
Oh, yeah. Something along those lines. Let me get the research team.
That's
on
terrible.
What it
people
says.
Are going to be like, people are going to be like, that sounds like a good shirt, guys. Sounds like
what,
shit.
I'll get the research team on what it says. Yeah, it says the Compound Podcast Research Team.
Okay.
EST 2020.
Let me do a better job of that. We have a t-shirt coming out from Obvious Shirts. It's going to be released when spring training starts. I think that's the 22nd, which is a Monday, which means it'll be released the day after when the Compound comes out that week. And it says the Compound Research Team. And we're going to need people rolling around being part of our research team with this shirt on.
The research team puts in a lot of work, you know. They grind for us.
They're grinders. They're grinders. We need to sell, you know what we need to do? We need to sell some more Intern Nora t-shirts, because Intern Nora is getting awfully close to heading into the working world. And
no, I'm getting sick and tired of Intern Nora. You know why?
Wow.
Because all she does is just roast me with Tom Brady.
Yeah, every time she posts it is talking shit about you with Brady.
I am getting sick and tired of it.
I love it.
I do too. I support it. I also support when she gives me 4.5 points and you guys 2.5 in an episode.
Yeah, I have no words for how Ian could ever win an episode. It blows my mind that he could beat us by 2 full points each. There's no possible way that makes sense.
Because I have the best takes.
You take conservative takes. Sorry, I take risks in my life.
I will say, I will give you a half of a point. I'm not even giving you a full point, because you should know it, that Byron Leftwich was the offensive coordinator.
It's a half a point because it's common knowledge, but not.
But minus a point, Nora, minus a point for not knowing Todd Bowles, because he was the MVP of that game last night.
Yes.
No. You know what? I'm going to give myself a half point because Tom Brady was the MVP of the game, and I watched him get handed the trophy.
Well, guess what? Minus a half point for trying to give yourself a point. Oops.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Back to nothing.
Yep. I'm going to give myself plus a full point for saying this episode is presented by Parse Rum, the best rum in the world. When I say Parse, you say rum. Parse.
Rum.
Zach, you got smoked. That's minus half a point.
Didn't even say it.
Any final words? Before
my screen time was 3 hours and 33 minutes.
Oh, 3:33?
Yeah.
I think mine was a little high today. We also
smoked.
This will be our last
6 hours and 7 minutes. Oh, 6 hours.
Oh, 6:25. What a day for me. Oh my goodness.
Ian, what's wrong with you?
I was grinding. I'm trying to get our big news done so that we can release our big news. We've been grinding. Also, this is probably be our last episode before Arizona next week. Start the spring training.
Hopefully.
Dakota's pumped. That's episode. I don't even know what episode this is. We're not using the same
40. Thing. We got to be close to 50. Is we got to be careful.
I thought it that might be 49, I think.
I'm going to check. I'm going to get the research team on it. Go ahead and kill time while the research team. This is 49. Yes, this is 49.
49. Thanks, research team. Way to work quick.
And 50 will take place back in Arizona.
Wow, 50 to open up. Maybe some big news for episode 50.
Wow, you have to do it at the compound.
We did. All right, that's episode 49 of the Compound Podcast presented by Parse Rum. We'll see you next week. Live, not live, just kidding, recorded from Arizona. Except for Zach's in Florida.
And Dakota's in Michigan.
2 presented by DraftKings is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball in Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.